Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. These hearings before the Supreme Court of Ohio, Master Commissioner George M. Howsworth, are now open for those to adjourn. Please be seated.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. First case this morning is 98-2251, True Christianity Evangelism versus Tracy. Mr. Nolan.
This is William Nolan, and I represent the appellate in this matter. I wish to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, the white light will come on with 2 minutes, so you might watch your time.
I beg your pardon?
The white light will come on with 2 minutes.
Left. Okay. This is an appeal of a decision of the Board of Tax Appeals in denying exemption for real property owned by the appellant under RC 5709.12B. The only issue before this court this morning is whether the BTA properly denied exemption under this provision because the appellant is a religious institution. RC 5709.12B provides that real and tangible personal property belonging to institutions that is used exclusively for charitable purposes is exempt from taxation. And this court has articulated a two-pronged analysis in determining whether property is exempt under this provision. First, the property must belong to an institution, and secondly, the property must be used exclusively for charitable purposes. And the BTA misapplied this analysis in denying exemption to the appellant. The BTA found and finds the fact that the appellant is a religious organization. However, the BTA denied exemption because it concluded that appellant status as a religious organization institution precluded exemption under this provision. And I reference pages 7 and 10 of the Board of Tax Appeals opinion. In particular, on page 10, the BTA said that a condition precedent to exemption under this provision is that the institution be a charitable institution. And the BTA's analysis is wrong on this point. This court has held that an institution may not be a charitable institution to qualify for exemption under this provision. The court has held that the applicant for exemption must be an institution, be any institution, and the court has defined an institution as an establishment, especially one for charitable or public character, or one affecting a community. And this provision issued today should be distinguished from another provision in the statute that provides exemption for property, and that is RC 5709.121, where exemption is narrower and is conditioned on the institution in fact being a charitable institution. Due to the board's misapplication of the law, the BTA did not make a finding on the second prong of the analysis, that is whether or not the property was used for charitable purposes. Therefore, this court should reverse the board's holding and remand the matter for such a finding.
What charitable purposes is the property used for?
The record indicates that the subject property, where there were several activities that took place, and the board in the record, again, there's a number of activities that the appellant engaged in. Some were at the subject property, some were not at the subject property. One of the activities was the production of literature to encourage and help people to live up to better moral standards, to produce literature, to influence people, again, to live up to higher moral standards. And the record also indicates that some songs were written at the subject property to, instilling moral standards. And this fact is reflected in the merits brief, the appellant's merits brief. However, the appellant has indicated to me that the songs were not written at the subject property, but the record, I cite transcript 31 and 32, where it does indicate that some of the songs were written there. However, again, appellant indicates that's not the fact. But what another thing that was going on for charitable purposes at the subject property was the development and distribution of a program helping youth deal with problems like peer pressure to take drugs, alcohol, smoke, engaging in illicit sex, and suicide and other detrimental activities. And this program is to be offered to public libraries free of charge or on a voluntary contribution basis with a copyright waiver to individuals so they can make their own copy. So again, the appellate is essentially engaging in dissemination of information for the benefit of people in general, again, free of charge with no profit to the appellate.
Was this property open to the public?
No, it's not. I mean, there are no public worship services that occur there.
Okay, so only the one individual really uses the property?
To prepare and to generate this information and to distribute it. The appellant had applied under 5709.07 as a house of public worship, but since it's not open to the public, the tax commissioner denied exemption on that issue, and we're not testing that this morning.
As I understand, most parsons or churches are not exempt. Wouldn't this exempt any minister's house? A minister goes out to spread the gospel, he prepares a sermon in this minister's house and home. Wouldn't this open that up to exemption in the future? But wouldn't that be a situation that all the minister has to do? Could an individual own this house, or is this exemption only because there's a corporation? Right. So any church could then form a corporation and the minister lives in the house. What makes this charitable?
Thank you.
client has not really benefited financially. And this is what he believes is an advancement and benefit to mankind. Some people may sort of that. Could you probably open up a situation here where you have the non-religious atheists come in and say, well, if you're putting the religion here without me, without calling yourself a religion.
Well, I could see where that may be a concern, but again, the appellant does not require a conversion, and when I think of the cases that were cited by the department in terms of, you know, religious evangelistic activities, in those cases, clearly the message was to promote Jesus Christ and to encourage people to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the acceptance of the Bible as the final authority in matters of faith and morals.
If your client could move into this house and live there, I think that should still be accounted.
Well, if the client were to move in,
yeah,
and live there, well, then I think it would take up the quality of a personal residence, and I would think it would be essentially not a problem. But in any event, I mean, this second prong analysis, that is an issue that the board should have decided and didn't. They short-circuited the analysis, holding that because the institution was a religious institution, it failed to satisfy a condition precedent, which is in fact not a part of the statute. So again,
what would it take to make this religious? It seems to me it's pretty close here to being religious or non-religious. If I go out and tell people to believe in the Bible and things like that, is not that religious?
Well, I think to the extent that you're encouraging people to accept a certain meaning, such as, you know, the Bible, you know, Jesus Christ in the New Testament, for example, meaning an acceptance of some sort of conversion, I think what appellant is doing is looking at the Bible and in other sources, in order to indicate that he's gone outside the Bible, again, looking for principles of general moral application. And again, I think that's an issue for the board to decide, maybe it is a religious message, but the board really didn't decide that particular issue with respect to the activities that occurred at the subject property.
He used one word several times, conversion. In your mind, do you see that as the religious, non-religious?
Yes, sir.
As long as you don't ask for conversion.
Well, I think what the appellant's doing, and again, I don't see asking for a conversion, which I think is you look at the opinions, you know, the Operation Youth Evangelize and Jim Swagger cases, you know, clearly the stated purpose of the appellant was to, seek a conversion or promote the gospel of Jesus Christ and seek a conversion type experience in Christianity. And of course, encompassing the acceptance of the moral principles articulated in the Bible.
How about just conversion to, rather than religious principles, moral principles?
Well, I think the conversion, the expounding of general moral principles is in line with general temperance society, which has been accepted by the court as a chair of the system. I mean, if you have any further questions, I have nothing further.
I have no further questions.
Good morning.
May it please the court. I would like to initially address one of the issues that was brought up by the appellant. Appellant is correct that RCP considered whether or not it was used for charitable purposes, and that they found that it was not, even though maybe not explicitly. Another item I would like to address is that we need to look at the activities that actually occurred at the property, on the property at the time of this application, and I believe if you look at the record, the only activities that did occur were some composition of the literature that Mr. Bosco did distribute at these various rock concerts and so forth. In fact, if you look at page 42, appellant referred to a video, however, no video production had occurred at the property at the time in the year that we are looking at. And I think what I would like the court to focus on is we have to look at what the primary use of this property is. And to me, appellant has seized on maybe an incidental use or purpose as far as promoting good moral values and tries to recharacterize what is a religious organization and what in its articles of incorporation has an obviously religious purpose, and namely that is to promote true Christianity and the values and principles thereof. This court has consistently differentiated between a charitable use and a religious use. There are several cases on that. Episcopal Parish versus Kenny, Operation Evangelized Youth Mission, and there are two Summit United Methodist Church cases. And I think that distinction is upheld by the Constitution, which allows the General Assembly to provide for exemptions both for houses that are used for public worship and also for institutions that are used for charitable purposes.
How do you distinguish this case, for instance, say from the Herb Society case?
Well, I think what we have to look at here is that, and the Wood County Court of Appeals talked about this in Jimmy Swaggart, I think what we need to look at is the purpose of this organization, in fact, charitable when the stated purpose is religious. And I think in the Herb Society of America,
So he goes and changes his corporation now and says it's promote good moral values rather than takes out the word Christianity.
Well, I think you might have a better argument then. But I think I'm not just relying on the articles of incorporation, and I don't think the BTA just relied on that. I think you also need to look at the record and the exhibits and throughout the testimony and also the exhibits and the information that was submitted by Mr. Bosco, there is an obvious religious theme that flows throughout that whole material. And I mean, he did state that, you know, one of his goals was to inspire, badger, and enthuse people into actually reading the Bible and finding out what it says. I mean, I suppose as an incidentally to promoting a religious message, you might also get people to live up to good or better moral standards, but I think we have to look at the primary use, and the primary use in this particular case was not for charitable purposes, it's for religious purposes.
That's one thing, reading the record, he sort of did some things there, but I guess what we read on what leaves track of is how the property was used. I mean, that's what we're exempting. We're not exempting his activities or anything like that. We're exempting the property. How is the property used?
You're absolutely correct, Your Honor, and that is one of the problems here. As I stated earlier, the only use of the property that was documented for the time the exemption was filed was the creation and, I guess maybe then the writing of the, I know, the different literature that that Mr. Bosco hands out. And I think if you look at that, and I believe there is one in the record, that there's clearly a religious, a religious message that underlies his literature. And he also did, although, I guess really we just need to focus on that because that's really the only activity that took place there. There's no videos being done, although there were Bible games and so forth that he did distribute. None of that distribution took place at the property. And as you correctly are focusing on, we have to look at the current use. We can't look at possible future uses or what he might want to use it for in the future. And I really believe that this case can't be distinguished from either Operation Evangelize Youth Mission or Jimmy Swagger, especially Operation Evangelize Youth Mission.
Those cases, the court's opinion's pretty short.
Yes. And actually, the information that I'm pulling from those, I mean, the court...
You're pulling from the BTA.
On that, and I'm looking at information in the BTA decision, and the BTA decision in Operation Evangelize, they stated that there was a charitable exception being claimed by an organization whose primary message and activities were evangelical. And one of the similarities between this case and that case is they did have buildings that had a printing facility, recording studio for cassette and radio programs, and administrative offices, which I would equate somewhat to the use that Mr. Bosco had used this property for. We used it for an area to create literature and to type literature and print it out on a printer.
Where would you set the limits on this? It seems like this is going further and further.
Well, I think the limit is what was stated in the Jimmy Swagger case, and I think you have to look at what, in fact, their purpose and their uses are. Is it charitable or is it religious? And I think what Appellant is trying to do here is really take a message that's really religious and just recharacterize it as the promotion of good moral values. And I don't think that is sufficient to transform the property, in this case, into one that's used exclusively for charitable purposes. If anything, I would say that that might be an incidental benefit for promoting your religious purposes and your religious uses. One other thing I wanted to address was Mr. Nolan talked about the Temperance Society, and I think you really need to look at those cases because that was the American Issue Publishing case, and in a later case, this court, the American Humanist Association, which was merely affirmed on the basis of American Issue publication, I think you need to question the validity of that American Humanist Association, because the American, if you look at American Humanist Association, basically it's just a paragraph and all it says is it's affirmed on the basis of American Issue Publishing Company. But the basis for American Issue Publishing Company was limited by this court to its specific facts in the Incorporated Trustees of the Gospel Workers Society. And they said that that was, and in that Incorporated Trustees case, the court said that the American Issue Publishing case was a questionable case. And also, I think you need to look at perhaps the purposes behind such an association, that its purpose is maybe merely to promote non-drinking or non-smoking or whatever. But although we may have that as an incidental benefit in this case, that's not the primary purpose of Mr. Bosco's organization. His primary purpose is to promote true Christianity and the values of that.
Again, though, he goes back and he recast his corporate charter, reincorporates. He's had several corporations because whichever group he wants to appeal to, he has a different corporation. He changes that and now changes the title to the house to some new corporation, and with whose stated purpose in the articles is, you know, advance good moral character, et cetera. Then what do you do?
Well, I think that would be some evidence of what the purpose would be.
But he does the same thing.
Well, then my next statement was going to be that we would have to actually look at the actual use of the property at the time that he submitted the exemption application. And I keep getting back to that, and that's a very important point. And the activities that were done on this property are clearly religious activities. And you can't get an exemption for this property based on any future activities or things that you want to do or you might do.
But he can reapply.
He could reapply for later years, and then it would be a factual question for the PTA of whether or not his purpose is exclusively a charitable purpose. I think we need to remember that the burden is on the appellant to prove. I mean, we have a tax exemption statute here, and it's to be strictly construed against the appellant. And we can't have a presumption in favor of that exemption. I guess the way that I'm looking at it here, I mean, below the tax commissioner, the appellant was seeking an exemption for both house used for public worship and a charitable organization. And
They abandoned
that at the board. And the appellant can't have it both ways. You can't be a religious organization or have a religious use and have a charitable use.
Yeah. He's not contending that, though, as I understand anymore.
No, they're not. But my point is, I think that the appellant is trying to recharacterize the facts to fit into the exemption, and I don't think that was proven before the PTA. I think if you look at the overall record and you look at the testimony, and you look at the message that appellant is promoting, that it's a religious purpose, it's a religious use. And a religious use and purpose is not synonymous with a charitable use and purpose. The court has held that many times. And I think that we need to keep that in mind. I guess
how do we separate the charitable from the religious? He talks about, Mr. Mullen says, well, he isn't doing any conversion, so therefore it's not religious.
Well, I think that, I guess I disagree with that, and he's just characterizing it as not seeking conversion. I think a charitable a charitable purpose versus a religious purpose would be defined by what the organization is trying to accomplish. For instance, a more generic organization like the Herb Society of America, where they're trying to promote herbs and educate the public.
Promote good moral values as important as promoting herbs?
Well, I'm not saying that it's not important. I think it is important, but I don't think that, I guess what I'm thinking appellant is trying to do is just trying to commingle the two, and he's got a religious purpose and a religious message, and now he's saying, well, it's true Christianity, and I want to promote true Christianity, and I take a lot of my information from the Bible, but I just want to promote good moral values.
Based on the Bible.
Based on the Bible. And I think not all of his information, but certainly a lot of his message comes from the Bible. And to me, you don't use the word Christianity unless you are promoting the principles of Jesus Christ. Christ. I think that's part of the tenets of the Christian faith. And I just am worried that Appellant is just trying to transform and recharacterize his facts into, and I have no doubt that Mr. Bosco is very dedicated to his cause. That came across very obviously in the board hearing. But unfortunately, we have to look at the statute and what the court has interpreted that statute to hold. Just to close, I would request that this case be affirmed, and I don't believe that it does need to be remanded. I think there's sufficient information in the PTA.
Thank you, Ms. Sample. Mr. Nolan, you have 2 minutes left.
Whether or not the activities, the documented activities that occurred to subject property were religious or not, was an issue for the Board of Tax Appeals to decide. They did not do that. They made an overall finding that the appellant was a religious institution based on the Jimmy Swagger case.
So you would have us remand it back for a determination? I mean, we can't determine the facts.
Well, absolutely. That was an issue for the board to decide it, whether these facts make these activities, and whether these facts rise to the level of religious activities or not.
Now, if they do, how should the board decide the case?
If they do, if the board, based on the record, indicates that these are religious activities, that these facts, as the state contends, are not distinguishable from Operation Youth Evangelizing Jimmy Swagger, then they would make a finding that it is a religious message. They make that finding a fact, then we would not be able to contend that here.
Well, how far can individuals go with this charitable exemption, do you think? I mean, I buy a property and I say I'm using it I'm going out in the street and say, conserve energy. Is that electric utilities buy a piece of property and they put their conservation program in there? Is that then charitable?
I think to the extent that it can be shown that it would benefit society.
Conservation.
But again, but that would be a matter for a board to
decide. Let's assume it does. But they then, I mean, it'd be hard to argue that conservation is not good for society, I would assume. Conserve energy.
Well, I think that may be distinguishable to the extent that, you know, you're conserving energy in that one particular place. Now, you're talking about disseminating information regarding the conservation of energy. Again, to the extent, I think that would certainly be a benefit, and then I believe the exemption would.
So the electric utilities can then say, well, our building, because we're promoting conservation of energy, should now be exempt.
Well, I think to the extent that the property, that the particular property is used without a view to a profit, maybe the utility would have to set up a separate entity
they have
for charitable purposes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Case will be marked submitted, and you're...